Our gospel reading today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Hear the words of the Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This week we start our series on the book of Jonah, a fun book in the Bible. I love the book of Jonah. It is filled with some great humor, which sometimes we miss when we read it in English. But when we study it in the original language, we pick up on some things that are just funny. So I encourage you to come to our Bible study on Thursday to take a deeper look at Jonah. But today I want to ask you, what is the first thing that pops into your mind when I say Jonah? The whale. The whale gets all the attention, doesn't he? Well, technically it doesn't say whale, it says big fish. But in the book of Jonah, which is four chapters long and 48 verses, how many of those verses have to do with the fish? Like two. And yet I remember being a kid in Sunday school and reading the little kids' books on Jonah, and almost every page was Jonah in the belly of the whale. Every page was whale, 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 whale. But when we read those other 46 verses of the book of Jonah, we realize that the story is so much more than about a fish who ate a man that looked like bait. We read the story of a reluctant prophet who might have more in common with us than we care to admit. And we read the story of a God who has relentless mercy, a mercy that refuses to let go of even the worst of us. Jonah is included among the minor prophets in the Old Testament. He is considered a prophet, but his story is unlike that of other prophets. Jonah's is the tale of a prophet gone wrong. And so we're going to take a look at that over the next 4 weeks. But the important point of Jonah, at least one of the many points that Jonah makes, is to look at how much like Jonah we are. To see what it reveals about us, but also what it reveals about God. And so our story of Jonah opens abruptly with God calling him to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for its wickedness has come up to me. God calls Jonah to go into Nineveh, to preach a gospel of repentance, to call them to turn from their wickedness to faith. Now, what is Nineveh? Today, we call it Mosul in Iraq. But then, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, a great enemy of Israel. They, in fact, would eventually come and conquer Israel, scattering most of the kingdom of Israel to the four winds. Nineveh was a great city, but it's funny, in the other prophets who speak of Nineveh, they condemn it. This is the only one that speaks of it positively. And yet God calls them out for their wickedness. And they were a wicked city in the way that they conquered other nations, the things that they did in their own midst. They were wicked. And God calls Jonah, go to Nineveh. Now, why would God send Jonah to Nineveh? They were Israel's enemy, wicked and violent and brutal. God sends Jonah to Nineveh because of the first lesson this book teaches us about God. That Nineveh was not so far gone that they could not be saved. That God is a God of mercy. When we read the Old Testament, we tend to have this image of God as a God of wrath, smiting this and striking down that. But we miss the other part of God that once you see it becomes pretty apparent. God is a God of mercy. God is constantly calling people to turn from the path that will lead to destruction to come and follow Him. What Jonah tells us by God sending him into Nineveh is that no one is so far gone that God won't forgive them if they would only turn back to God and repent. And that characteristic of God has not changed. From the Old Testament to the New Testament to today, we see it clearly in Jesus Christ. In God who offers us the chance to escape from the path that sin leads us down. Jesus tells us in John 3:16, God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus reveals that God is a God of mercy. And so God calls Jonah out of mercy to go into Nineveh, and He calls us as well to go to Nineveh, to go to our own Ninevehs. Whatever your Nineveh may be, whatever represents something that God is urging you to do, or a person that God is urging you to show mercy to, someone you need to forgive, or at least to be kind to. God calls all of us to go to our Ninevehs. And we have a choice. Do we go where God calls us, or do we run the other way? Jonah ran from God. God said, go east. Jonah ran west. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah ran to the nearest port and grabbed the first boat out. One of the funny things in the original Hebrew is that in our translation, it said Jonah paid his fare, got on the boat, and went. But in the original Hebrew, there's a trick of grammar that shows us Jonah didn't just pay his fare. He paid for the whole boat. I imagine Jonah going to the dock and be like, I got to get out of here. Let's go. Let's go. I got to get to Tarshish. Let's go. And he's like, look, man, we still got to get like at least 30 more people on board before we can afford this. Here, just take all my money. We got to go now. So Jonah buys out the boat. This is how desperate he is to run from God. We all have a bit of Jonah in us, don't we? That part of us that wants to run from what we know God wants us to do. Or to stop doing what God tells us to stop doing. We have that bit of Jonah that would rather us judge and condemn someone than show them mercy. We have that bit of Jonah in us that runs from every opportunity to take a leap of faith and to charge off the other way at all cost. So the second lesson of the book of Jonah that we learn is that there are consequences for running from God. Trouble followed Jonah. He tried to escape from the presence of God. We read in Psalm 139 this morning, where can I go from your presence? Jonah in futility tries to escape God, and trouble follows him. A storm assails the ship that he is on, and he puts everyone at risk. But Jonah's trouble is more than an external storm. It's what's going on inside him. Where is Jonah when the storm strikes the ship? He is asleep. He is in a deep sleep. In the Hebrew, it says he is snoring loudly in the belly of the ship. He's not on the deck. He's not in the mess hall eating some lunch. Jonah got on board and wound his way down to the deepest, darkest part of the ship, curled up in a corner, and went into a deep sleep. Because sleep was preferable to being awake and thinking about how he's been running from God. For Jonah, hiding away and falling asleep was another way to escape from God. And then the sailors figure out it's all about Jonah, that he's the one who's brought this calamity upon them. And Jonah, in despair, says, "Throw me overboard." Think of how depressed Jonah must be. He's a prophet of God. God gave him a message. This was not some random dude that got surprised by a message from God. This was someone who was called to go and preach. Jonah knew what he was doing when he ran from God. And it ate him up inside. To the point where he saw no hope and said, "Just throw me overboard." Jonah wanted to die. See, I think the consequences that he is facing internally are far greater than the ones that the ship is facing on the sea. What consequences do we face when we keep running from God? For others, the consequences are that they are robbed of a chance to experience God's mercy as we show it to them. But for ourselves, maybe it's guilt. For those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, maybe it's guilt when we know God has said, "Do this," and we don't, and we don't want to. And we try to rationalize why we don't have to obey. Maybe I'm okay. You know what, man? It's not a big deal to God. Well, so what? The more we run, the consequence can be apathy. That we just stop caring. That our hearts grow hard and cold to the things of God. And that we think we are okay when we really aren't. This is what Jesus warns his followers in Matthew 7. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' not everyone who comes and thinks, 'Hey, look, I've done great things in your name. I did all this awesome stuff because of you, Jesus.' Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who do what? The will of my Father." Not those who try to define their faith on their own terms and try to say, "This is what I will and won't do," but those who give themselves over to God and say, "Lord, I'll go where you want, I'll do what you want, because you matter most." See, if we run long enough, the consequences are that we cut ourselves off from God. And yet this is the good news in Jonah. The good news that we celebrate today is that God, in God's mercy, always gives us a chance to turn back. That no one is so far gone, has run too far, that they cannot turn back to God. That's what mercy is. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. See, judgment is what we face when we reject God's mercy. Judgment is what's at the end of a road of sin. It's where all human sin leads us. But the good news is that God is a God of justice and mercy. Nineveh deserved judgment, and yet God showed them mercy. Jonah disobeyed God, had lost all hope, and figured he was as good as dead, so why not die. And yet God did not abandon Jonah to the depths. He sent a big fish. God won't abandon us to the depths either, without giving us the chance to repent. Because, you see, it's more important to God that we stop running and turn back to Him. That is what we see in Jesus Christ. That is what this holy meal is all about. See, Jesus is living proof that God is a God of mercy. Jesus is living and dying and resurrected proof that God is a God of mercy. See, the story of Jonah serves kind of as a warning, but also an encouragement not to run from God. In whatever ways we run from God, in whatever Ninevehs we try to avoid, stop running. Turn around. Because God shows us great mercy in giving us the chance to live in His mercy, to rejoice in it and share it with all of our Ninevehs. And so wherever you feel like you are running from God, stop. Run this way instead. Run to this table of grace, this table where Christ offers us, as He offered to those first disciples, His body and His blood, broken and shed for us. God invites to this table all those who are tired of running. Come. Receive the grace and mercy that Christ gave His life for us to have.